Good morning, everyone. You know, one of the things, say what you will about WikiLeaks, one of the things WikiLeaks did was allow Tunisians, because of some of those leaked cables included communications between the U.S. Embassy in Tunis right. and Washington, it allowed Tunisians to see that the U.S. government believed their leader, Ben Ali, was a corrupt dictator. And the U.S. government was inclined, according to the cables, not to support him. Did those cables and that information inspire this? Sound, of course, from the streets of Tunisia, a story we've been covering all week, as well as demonstrations around the Arab world in Cairo and even this morning we learn in Yemen. The parallel turbulence that may have been inspired by WikiLeaks certainly was inspired by WikiLeaks at the New York Times, as the Times and the Guardian newspaper, the two main institutions that dealt with the WikiLeaks database when it first became public in figuring out how to actually turn it into news, produced a profile that's coming up this week in Sunday's New York Times, written by executive editor for the New York Times, Bill Keller, of Julian Assange, the man behind WikiLeaks. Is it time for us to learn more about the individual that has created this revolution, possibly on the streets of places like Tunis, but also in the boardrooms and editorial offices of places like the New York Times? Bill Keller joins us now live. Good morning, Bill.
Hi, John.
Explain, first of all, the need for Americans and New York Times readers and news consumers generally to know more about this eccentric character, Julian Assange.
Well, I think he's an interesting story just because he's an interesting story. And you don't absolutely have to know a lot about Julian Assange to appreciate the impact or just the fascination of these troves of documents that he released. But he is a fascinating character. You know, he's an Australian former hacker. He doesn't much like to be described as a former hacker, but that was how he kind of came to notoriety. And he founded, he is by all accounts, a brilliant computer guy at both the programming and encrypting. And he is, an advocate for kind of an absolutist view of transparency, believes that secrecy generally hides all kinds of perfidious things when governments practice it. And he has a significant following. I know that because they're all emailing me.
Right, I imagine. And on the New York Times website, your national security correspondent, Eric Schmidt, describes him, I think it's fair to say, as someone who's not likely to end up in the fashion section of the New York Times. Listen.
He looked like a bag lady coming in. He was wearing kind of a dingy khaki sports coat and cargo pants, old tennis shoes with socks that were kind of collapsing around his ankles. It looked like he hadn't slept in a couple of days, and he clearly hadn't bathed in several days.
It's Eric Schmidt, National Security.
He's referring to the Julian Assange of last summer.
Right.
Since then, Assange has had a significant fashion upgrade.
And he acquired some sunglasses. How has this relationship evolved to one of enough credibility for the Times and the Guardian to proceed?
We sort of knew from the get-go, because WikiLeaks had already begun to establish a profile, that, you know, this was going to be a tricky relationship. Sources, you don't get to pick your sources. They tend to come to you with complications, agendas of their own. So what you really do is focus on the material. Is it genuine? Is it legit? Is it newsworthy? And what he brought to The Guardian and then to The Times and Der Spiegel and a few other papers ultimately was the real deal. I mean, and genuinely, I think, important.
Bill Keller, although there is a lot of talk, and I imagine there will be studies to come over the motivations and agendas of Julian Assange, this is a man who obviously seems to like privacy of his own in terms of his own address, but many people say he's motivated by an agenda against the U.S. government. Does that change the motivations or the mission of WikiLeaks?
I mean, he clearly has a strong sort of distaste for the U.S. government, regards it as more a force for evil than for good in the world, and that's one factor in why he's developed such a kind of large cult following, particularly in parts of Europe where, you know, the United States is resented for throwing its weight around too much. That certainly added an extra layer of caution in dealing with WikiLeaks and the material. But I think he came into it believing that one effect of all of this transparency would be to embarrass and compromise the United States. At one point, he called for Hillary Clinton to resign in shame. In fact, a lot of people have been surprised that particularly the documents that relate to the State Department show diplomats behaving in a pretty competent and, and well-motivated ways.
What do you think is more of concern to the New York Times, Bill Keller, the idea of a cult of Julian Assange and people like him, or the idea that people believe there is a place on the internet where they can leak secrets that they think Americans should know about or the world should know about, and that that place to leak might not be the New York Times or another newspaper?
Well, neither of those is my main concern about what comes out of all of this. I mean, you know, people have leaked to the New York Times for many, many years, and they've leaked to other people as well. And I think, you know, both of those avenues will continue. My main concern about this is, and in part it flows from the fact that a lot of Americans and government officials in establishment places regard Julian Assange with sort of disdain, is that this could lead to a tightening of the laws about publication of secrets, either in the United States or in other countries. Say what you will about Julian Assange, I think, you know, creation of new laws to prevent the publication of secrets would be a bad thing. And I think, you know, I for one think that we should probably speak up in defense of Julian Assange on that particular issue.
Then would the New York Times actively support his defense and extradition on charges in Sweden of sexual misconduct?
Well, you know, the New York Times doesn't take positions on things like whether people broke the law or should be extradited. But I think we would certainly want to be heard on if somebody were to propose making it harder or illegal to publish secrets.
Floyd Abrams, First Amendment attorney at NYU earlier this week, suggested that, in fact, a whole wave of First Amendment restrictions inspired by WikiLeaks is on the way. Do you believe that?
I certainly have heard, you know, intimations that things like that are bubbling around. Whether any of them will get traction or not, it's a little early to tell.
All right. And this profile, is this in Sunday's magazine, The New York Times?
Right.
Bill Keller, executive editor of The New York Times, talking about a profile of Julian Assange, the man behind WikiLeaks, which appears in the paper in the Sunday New York Times magazine. Thank you so much, Bill.
You're welcome.